Welcome to COTK Online today. It is great to be with you as we are continuing on with our series, Sincerely with Love. And today we were looking at a letter that was written by John to his home church in Ephesus, which is right across from Athens, Greece, but it's in Turkey, in modern day Turkey. And it's John the Apostle who started following Jesus as a young man, probably a teenager. And as he was this young man, as he writes his account in the book of John, we see that he wrote that he called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Well, now he's at the end of his journey. He's at the end of his life, and he's writing to his own church that he is saying to them, hey, you're like my little children. He loves them. And if there's one thing that I've found, it's this. As I've sat with people who are at the end of their life, if I've sat with people who are dying, their journey through life is coming to an end, there's something that happens, that there's a clarification. There's a prioritization of what's truly important. They want their family around. They want their friends around. And they begin to talk about what's really important. In fact, just a few months ago, I sat with an amazing lady, Miss Evelyn Guillory, as she knew that she was about to pass. And over, she just kept saying, he's so good. He's so good. Just remember, she was grabbing my hand saying, remember, he's so good. It marked me because people on their deathbed, they speak what's important. And here we see John at the end of his life, and he's writing. This is what he says in 1 John. He says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we've heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. Okay. John lived and walked with the Son of God, with God in human form. And he's writing to his church, and he's talking about the experience that he had of walking right next to the creator of the universe. Why is that important? Why does he start with that? Because he wants people to know that there is an experience to be had in following Jesus. And even though Jesus may not be bodily with them, he's alive. In fact, he goes on to say this in verse 3. He says, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. He's writing to his home church. He's writing to his church, and he's saying, I want you to know the joy of what it's like to walk with Jesus. And this is so key, and it's our first point. It's the first thing that I want us to glean from this book. He says, this is the message that we've heard from Jesus, and now we declare to you that God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So here's the first thing that he's saying that I want us to glean, that we are called to live in the light. Just like Jesus lived in the light and was the light. Jesus actually said, I am the light of the world. Who follows me won't walk in darkness, will have the light of life. We're called to live in the light. So the big takeaway of this guy who from a teenager walked with Jesus, he was there when Jesus was crucified, really the only disciple that was watching him on the cross. It was John. He was there. And then he was with the resurrected Jesus. And he laid his life on the line to continue to follow Jesus because Christians began, because of political circumstance, to be tremendously persecuted. And yet he's saying this, I was with him. And I want you to know, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. Then he says this. He says, so we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in darkness. We're not practicing the truth. If we're living in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's the simplicity of it. You ready? We're called to live in the light. We're called to walk in the light. We're not called to live or walk in the darkness. The fact of the matter is the world around us is very dark. But we're called to live in the light, just as Jesus is the light. As Jesus, when he was on this earth, walked in the light, knowing that our Father is God. This is what he says. He says, God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. It is so easy to end up in a dark place. It happens like that. Nobody intends, typically, no healthy person for sure, and certainly no follower of Jesus, intends to say, you know, I think I'm going to end up in a really dark place. Nobody intends that. So how does it happen? Very slowly. Very slowly. As we begin to take our eyes off of the Father, the next thing we know, we're shaded and jaded and walking in darkness. And to pull up my sunglasses because we got out of the light and I needed to see in the shade because I needed more light. Are you living in the light? This is what John is writing. He's at the end of his life. This is his message. Live in the light. Live in the light. I beseech you. Like that's a crazy word, I know, but it's biblical. He's basically basing, live in the light. Let's live in the light. Then what he says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you won't sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ, the one who's truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. So here's what he's saying. I want you to walk in the light. Walk in the light. I'm writing this so that you walk in the light and you don't sin. But if you do sin, let's just stop right there, because the fact of the matter is that all of us are going to sin. If you've ever, with sincerity, surrendered, like all of you, to him, like you've given your life to Jesus, in the church world, that's called saved. Well, I was saved. Saved from what? From my own sin, and you recognize that Jesus died on the cross for you. And you say, I'm no longer gonna walk in darkness. I'm gonna walk with Jesus in the light. But you still sin, right? I'm looking at the guys behind the camera. Yeah, we do. And what do we do with that? You know, sin's a double-edged sword. And the first edge is the sin itself, what you do that cuts. Then it can hurt and it can cause friction and pain and problems. It can sever relationships. It always severs your heart from God. That's the first side of that double-edged sword of sin. But the second edge is the even sharper side. It's the side of condemnation, where the whisper of the enemy comes and begins to say to you, oh, you think you're following Jesus? I thought you were walking in the light. I thought you decided that you were going to walk in the light. What in the world happened? Here you are standing in darkness and liking it. John's saying this, God's light. If you're following him, you're walking in the light. We're supposed to live in the light and walk in the light. I'm writing this so that you don't sin. And then he says this, already read it. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. And it's Jesus. So this is what I want you to get. The first thing, live in the light. Let's keep walking. Walk in it. But invariably, you're probably going to do something selfish. You're probably going to do something that you know that you shouldn't do. You don't even want to do it, but you kind of want to do it. Maybe you really want to do it, but you know that you shouldn't do it. And you end up doing it even though you know that it's wrong. That is sin. And that keeps you from walking in the light. And there you are in darkness. I wanted to live in the light. I prayed and I'm in it. And then John writes, hey, I'm writing this so you don't walk in sin. But if you do, know this, Jesus is there advocating on your behalf to the Father saying, hey, yeah, they sinned, but that's why I gave my life for them on the cross. And their heart is still mine. I know their heart's for me. We need to live in the light, but we also need to live in forgiveness. Do you live in the place of forgiveness when you sin, or the place of condemnation? Recognize that Jesus is there advocating for you, and live in the place of forgiveness, not in the place of condemnation. Because living in the place of condemnation keeps you from the purpose and the plan of God, the reason that Jesus came. He paid the price for your sin. But when you allow condemnation and the voice of the enemy to keep you in the place of remembering and living in your sin, you're not living in forgiveness, and you're actually not walking in the light, even though you hate what you did in the dark. So, let's keep walking. And this is what John is writing to his church. And he's saying, I love y'all. You're like my kids. And I want you to know this. God's light, walk in his light. If you sin, walk in forgiveness. Are you living in the light? Are you living in forgiveness? And then the third thing, and it's probably the biggest out of all of them, and yet it's also the simplest. He says this in chapter 2, verse 7. He says, dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Rather, it's an old one that you've had from the very beginning. This old command to love one another. It's the same message you've heard before. This is his message over and over and over. Love one another. Oral tradition states that at the end of his life, John would continually repeat over and over, love one another, brothers. Love one another, brothers. Love one another. That's all he would say. Because the message that we're called to is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. It's love one another. This is the simplicity of the message that John has at the end of his life. That clarity that death brings, that clarity knowing that the end is coming. This is what John is saying. Live in the light. Live in forgiveness. Know that Jesus has forgiven you. He's washed you clean. Stop beating yourself up. Stop rehashing what you've done, what you should have done, what you could have done. Stop it. Just walk in the light. And if you mess up, if you do sin, Jesus is already there with the Father saying, my sacrifice covered that. My blood has already washed them clean. And then love one another. Then the very last thing that he says, the very last sentence that he writes in his letter is this. It's in chapter 5. He says, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. That's what he ends with. He starts with God's light. Live in him. He reminds them to live in forgiveness and not in condemnation. He tells them, love one another over and over and over. And you can read the in between chapter 1 and chapter 5, how many times he says, love one another, love one another. But he ends saying, hey, guard your heart. Guard your heart. What is it? Proverbs 4:23 that says, guard your heart, for out of it flows every issue of life. Guard your heart from anything that might take God's place. What's in your heart? Well, here's what I've found. And he writes about it in 2 John. Whatever's in front of your eyes is often what's in your heart. Many people walk in the darkness and have something other than the heart of God in their life, because they've set their eyes on things that they know are dark. What is it? You're walking in the light? You're walking in forgiveness? You're loving your neighbor? Really simple stuff. Walk in the light of God. Walk in the forgiveness, not the condemnation. Love your brother and make sure that there's nothing dirty in your heart. Is there anything dirty in your heart? God's been doing a work in me even recently, just going, hey, I can just feel him just knocking on the door of my heart, calling it, opening up, hey, that dirty corner, clean it up. Why'd you say that way? Why'd you do that? I want to continue to grow. I'm far from perfect, but I want to walk in the light, walk in forgiveness, not beat myself up when I do something stupid, something sinful, love people, and keep my heart right. And I want that for you. Maybe this message is for you, the simplicity of walking in the light of God, receiving His forgiveness, loving people, and keeping your heart clean. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. You can just pray with me if this is you. Just pray along with me. Say, dear Jesus, I want to walk in your light. Forgive me for my sin. I'm not going to live in it. I'm not even going to think about it because I know, Jesus, that you bring forgiveness. And I want to love you, love people, and keep my heart clean. In Jesus' name, amen. And if that's you and you prayed that prayer, let us connect with you. We want to connect to help you grow in your walk with God. Click on the link in the chat box underneath. Send that Facebook message. Email us. Contact us. Call us at the... It doesn't matter. Just let us help you grow. I want to see your life built on the truth of God. Love you guys. Have a great day. God bless.